Welcome back.
Hello, happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday.
You're really loving that accent. A little bit of my
accent left.
Oh my goodness.
So today we are chatting. We're coming a little bit later in the day today. Apologies there, but you know what? It is Wednesday and we are getting a new episode out. So I'm still proud of us.
Yeah, still here, still technically on time.
Mm-hmm. What are we chatting about today?
Growing pains.
Oh man, look at you.
I listen.
You're acting like we just talked about this like 20 minutes ago.
I'm on top of it, you know?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
So when we talk about growing pains.
What?
I was just going to try to BS something, but nothing came to mind.
So
tell me what we're talking about.
Okay, well first, because we're talking about growing pains, I have to say, Growing Pains used to be my favorite show growing up. And I don't know.
Is that the one that had Michael J. Fox for a little bit?
No, that's Spin City.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Growing Pains is the one that had Kirk Cameron in it. And I don't know if you know this, but Kirk Cameron was my first celebrity crush.
Wow. Mine was Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I did.
From Flight of the Navigator. Which that is purple hair got me.
Which is ironic because a lot of people tell me I look like her.
I'm just living out a boyhood fantasy. I know.
Just fulfilling your dreams. but anyways, yeah, Kirk Cameron was my first celebrity crush. And actually, America fell in love with Leonardo DiCaprio from Titanic, as did I, 8-year-old Olivia. However, I actually knew Leo from Growing Pains. That's when I first saw him.
You knew him from that?
Yeah, that's when I knew him. Yeah, his dad was an alcoholic, and at one point he had poured all the wine in the house down the toilet. It was a big thing. It got to me. So,
wow.
I'm an OG.
I'm glad you guys made it through that.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Growing pains.
I thought this would be a good topic because we talked about how we're conquering our bodies and our health journey a little bit.
We won marriage.
I think this last week I won my body. I cannot say any of this stuff seriously. But we have been focused on like getting our shit together, for lack of a better phrase, health-wise in the house, because we like really fell off the wagon for a while there, and it got me thinking about how anything in life, there's growing pains to it. And I feel like with working out or eating healthy, for me the issue is eating healthy, but it's like getting over that initial hump is so hard. You always hear that with workout programs. Like when you just got to get through the initial hump and then you get in a groove, then you get kind of like addicted to the endorphins. You know, you want to go back, you're enjoying it more, your body gets used to it. For me, that's like cutting out restaurant food. Like we eat out a lot, we tend to. And it's like cutting out DoorDash, cutting out the drive-thru, and of most places, we still go to Starbucks, but like cutting out a lot of the food I typically gravitate towards. And it's so hard at first, but now that I'm like a week or two into being really dedicated, I feel so much better. And you and I were talking about how we kind of went through that with having two kids. Like last night we were talking about the transition to having two, and the first few months was just like a big clusterfuck of no structure, no reward. Yeah. It was strictly survival mode. Like, I don't remember any of it. It was such a blur. It was like post-apocalyptic survival. Like, do what you gotta do. And now I feel like we're kind of in that smooth, knock on wood. But, like, we're in a good groove.
Yeah, like, looking back at that period of time, we were thinking about it. And, like, if you asked me, like, what did your day look like during that time? Like, it was never the same. It was never productive. It was never consistent. It was very, very, and somehow, I mean, we actually worked quite a bit during that time, but I couldn't tell you how and when I worked. Like, it was just a mess. And with the kids, it was crazy too. So it's like, when we look at our lives now, as you mentioned, you kind of get through and past that hump. If you ask me now what our day looks like, I could give you a pretty good idea of what it is from start to finish. Because we have like structure, we've kind of gotten the hang of it. And I think that's, to your point, it's like the same thing with eating healthy or with working out, like having a little bit of structure, getting the hang of it, like just feeling confident in what you're doing is like a night and day difference, because then it's almost like I don't know if you ever had this experience where like you're getting ready to like start a project and you're just completely paralyzed because you don't even know what to start on. Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot with me with like new things where I'm just like, I don't even know where to start. This is just overwhelming. There's too much. But when you have the hang of it and you feel confident, like you can actually see it very quickly, like, oh, I'll do this and I'll go to that. I'll do that. Like it's just, it can be overwhelming at first. But with us lately, I feel like we're kind of getting the hang of some things, which has been fun. And yeah, it makes me feel productive and confident, which is good.
Yeah, I think you talked about how, I can't remember how you phrased it, but basically like you don't feel confident or it feels like difficult or icky when you're going through it. And I feel like going back to like eating healthy, that's how I feel. Like I get stuck in that mode of like, well, I already ate bad for breakfast, so I'm just gonna eat whatever I want all day because today's a wash. Or I like, how many times have we said like tomorrow we are starting this and we never hit tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, since like the pandemic hit, every single month I've told you, okay, so starting next month we are only eating groceries. We're only gonna eat groceries. I'm gonna go shopping once a week
and more Starbucks.
Yeah, we won't even do what's the delivery for groceries?
DoorDash or Instacart.
So we won't even do that. I'm going to go with a grocery list. I'm going to buy the groceries and we will only eat what we bought. And it's never happened yet, but we're getting...
Not that we've never grocery shopped.
No, but I just mean we've never had a month.
Completely.
Yeah, we never had a month where we actually stuck to what my goal was. But I think what we're now doing is at least managing it like step by step. It's, and like you said, we're not having like months where we're like, oh, too late. Let's just eat out every day now. Like we're better, but it's tough. I mean, especially with food, I have a serious like sugar addiction. Like if I was going to tell you like tomorrow I'm going to stop eating sweets, like I have zero self-control. I have to, I have to have help with it to get past that. But I think what you've mentioned this week is like eating healthier, just the small decisions you've made in like a short period of time, like one or two weeks of doing that, like you feel noticeably different. Like mm-hmm. you feel a lot better, which is when you see results, it makes it easier to stick with it because like results are motivating, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's something like, I don't know, it's interesting to me because I feel like for so long, I work out a ton. I consider myself a fit person, but for so long I didn't really have to think about what I was eating because I was pregnant. And so it's like I don't think you should limit yourself when you're pregnant. I don't think you should limit yourself at all, but you know, it's like I was pregnant and then I was breastfeeding and I kind of went through this phase where I could like eat whatever I wanted and maintain the same weight and feeling. Like when you're breastfeeding, weaning has basically taught me that when you're breastfeeding, you are like burning and giving out so much more than you realize physically. And yeah. I don't think I ever really thought about it until I was done. And now I'm like, oh, the things I was eating before actually make me feel like shit now because I'm not, my body's not constantly producing something to give to somebody else. Yeah. And so I'm realizing like the, just operating my life the way I have been operating the last couple of years has actually taken a really big toll on me physically. And so I've kind of been back in this mode of like watching what I eat, just making healthy decisions. Like I'm not calorie counting. I'm not getting crazy with it, but it's like today we had burgers for lunch and 2 weeks ago when we made them, I had two burgers, each on a bun, loaded with sauce and cheese, and I felt like, and like a shit ton of chips on the side, and I felt like crap afterwards. Like, I would never go to In-N-Out and get two burgers, you know? They're veggie burgers, but still. And I was eating that at home and feeling like crap, and today it's like I had one patty with a bunch of fruit and veggies on the side. No bun, no toppings, nothing. And I feel great. And I still got all the protein. I still got some of the taste I wanted. You know, it's like, those are the decisions I'm trying to do. And I haven't had to be in that mode of thinking through it in so long. And I definitely, when it came to cut stuff out and make those decisions, it was tough. Like,
yeah.
There were some times where I was like, oh, all I want to do is like, you know, I don't know, eat whatever right now, eat In-N-Out. Like,
yeah.
And we had to be like, no, we're going home. We're going to make food at home. We're going to, it's like getting over that initial hump, the growing pains of it, you know?
Well, I think too, especially with food is just like anything else you might be trying to give up that you consume, whether it's, you know, nicotine or alcohol or whatever, like when you're trying to make changes to that stuff that you consume, it's really tough because it's like your chemical makeup changes when you stop eating certain foods. Mm-hmm. And so like me as an example, like I was saying earlier, I'm like, my body's conditioned to want sugar like all the time. So it's hard to break that habit, and I have to force myself. And like,
sugar's like an actual addiction, and you have it bad.
I love like, sugar. Well, I mean, I've been tested, everyone, so I don't have any types of blood sugar issues, but my mood and like the way I feel is like I crash, or I get like,
you get hangry.
And I like crave sugar. Like there's times when I'm sitting there and like I've just eaten a whole meal, and like half an hour later I'm like, okay, I need to go like eat some chocolate.
Well, that's how I am right with now. Carbs. Like, you crave sugar, I crave carbs. Like even today when we were making lunch, I was like, I feel like I need like rice with this or chips or something on the side, like. And even yesterday we made brats for lunch, like veggie brats, and I had cauliflower rice with it.
Yeah.
And even that felt more satisfying to me because my brain thought it was like a real carb, you know, like. Yeah. That's how I am. I'm like, I need a whole bag of baked Lays right now.
Well, and for you, you always had, like you mentioned, pregnancy or nursing to help. And like for me, I've just always been extremely like trim and fit. And
I knew I was waiting for
and
it
so,
to drop.
Like, it's tough for me to change my habits when the results, like, I look amazing already, but I've noticed my gut health. I feel like I have better energy. I'm also joking about
the
conceitedness, but.
Not even your gut, like, your gut health is perfect as well. Like.
No, but I mean, I think what I've noticed is like, and you read about it all the time, like your immunity comes from your gut. So yeah. Like if you feel like you're getting sick too often, like for me, I just knew I wasn't putting the right stuff in my body. So my energy levels were crappy.
I was going to say, I notice it with energy. Like for me, the last few weeks, I feel like I hit rock bottom, and I was like, I look pregnant right now. I look so bloated. I feel like crap. Like I don't have energy. I just feel like I'm crashing all the time. I'm not motivated. And like, I feel like no matter what the change is, like for us, we're talking about eating a lot because that's like our focus in our household right now. But even if it's not eating, if it's sleep training, if it's like, I don't know what are
potty training.
If
working
it's
out,
starting a new job, like that initial hump, those growing pains are so difficult to get through. And then once you do, you just feel so much lighter. Like since we've potty trained Christian, I feel like it's just like this weight is lifted off our shoulders. And
yeah, and I think too, the biggest thing about growing pains, like it helps you if you can see it on the front end, is they don't last that long.
Yeah.
So like growing
pains, it
feels
like forever when you're in it.
It truly is a hill. And so when you're sitting there looking up at a hill, you can't see the other side. You don't realize it's just a bump and you're going to go right back down and you're fine. But from your point of view, you're like, okay, does that plateau and go on forever or what happens? So like, if you can remember that getting past that little bump, you know, you're back to normal and you feel great. It's encouraging. And I can't think of any instance of like what we're talking about, like growing pains, where it was a long process. Like usually it's a couple weeks and you're into it. You're back, you know?
I mean, maybe the pandemic.
That's not a growing pain.
That's not
we're
growing
not doing. No, I'm talking about when you start something. Start potty training. What? It took like 3 weeks to get it to
you're
where
right.
it was different.
My mind was going. The reason I say that is because I was thinking about how, like, the second kid jump. Like, we've been talking about how there's, like, this blur when we added the second kid. And I think part of it was that I remember when I was pregnant with Arlo, I kept saying, like, you know what we're getting ourselves into. We know that everything's a phase. I thought the newborn phase, the colicky phase, would be a little bit more easy on us with the second one because, you know, we see how fast it went with the first one, and we know it's all a phase and like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I feel like with the first kid, that's kind of the hardest part, is when they're up screaming in the night and you can't console them. It feels like it's like, oh, this is my life now. Like,
yeah,
I'm never gonna sleep again. I just permanently have a 3-month-old. I'm gonna be 50 with this 3-month-old who's still screaming at me. And that's like part, so that's kind of what I thought would be easier with the second one. But then the pandemic hit, and like I felt like that made it a little tougher for us to.
Well, I think too, I mean, the naive thing that we believed was that we knew what we'd be getting into.
Yeah, we knew what we were doing.
Regardless of the pandemic, like if you think about it, it's not like we were going to be doing the same thing we did with Christian. When you have a baby who is your second baby and they're crying in the middle of the night, you're not dealing with a baby crying in the middle of the night. You're dealing with a baby and a 3-year-old right next to them. Like, none of the experiences are the same. And so to think we were going to be doing it the same, it really wasn't. But even that, like, it takes a little while. And with each step, even though, like, transitioning to all different kinds of things can sometimes take a while, like the little things you get used to, like changing 2 diapers at the mm-hmm. same time, we got used to that pretty quickly. It seemed at first we were like, we have to potty train Christian because we can't do 2 diapers a day at the same time, or 2 kids in diapers every day. And you get used to it. You get used to, like, walks with 2 kids. You get used to breakfast for 2 kids. Like, all of that stuff seems daunting at first, and then you get used to it. And I think, like, for me at least, starting anything new, I have to condition my mind to be like, this uncomfortableness, this like nervousness, this pit in my stomach, it only lasts a little while.
Yeah,
it
goes away. Temporary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched so many of my friends go through that, getting new jobs in the last year. It's like the feeling of starting a new job is just so uncomfortable. And like, you eventually get settled. Even if you don't like the job, you eventually get settled mm-hmm. and it feels more comfortable. But that initial, like, I've heard from so many people, I remember hearing it from you when you started your last job. It's like, oh, I just can't wait to be like 4 months into this and have this period be over. And I think that's kind of it with anything. Like you said, anything starting new, but you just got to get...
People, I think I've said it so many times on this podcast, but people are amazingly resilient. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's every human being's, like, superpower. It's why we are what we are in the world amongst all these other different creatures. But, like, we adapt and just, like, find ways to make things happen like no other creature.
You know, adapt, act, react. What is it? Act,
this is
react,
a polite thing. It's
adapt.
I can't remember
what it is either.
But it's true. I mean, if you think about things we've all gone through, good and bad, like, we find ways to just make it the new normal. And
I was
going to
say, even, like, you know, I mentioned that, like, the pandemic is something that, like, I think we all went into it thinking, like, I feel so naive now. We all do that. We're like, okay, 2 weeks from now, we'll be back into the office. Like, things will be normal. And then here we are, and it's, like, almost 2 years later for so many people. I mean, for all of us, but so many people who have been in lockdown that entire time. And I think that's the thing. It's, like, we are so resilient, and we adapt to our surroundings and adapt to what's thrown at us, even if we don't realize it. Like, sometimes you have to get through that initial hump, get through that ickiness, get through that muddiness to see how resilient or how, how much we can change without really even knowing we're doing it. Yeah. You know, we don't realize how strong and resilient we are until we've already made it through the tough times.
Yep. No, you're right. I mean, we're flexible. We are resilient. Like, people can do so much more. And like you said, it is truly more than we know, because a lot of times you don't see it until you look back. And that's mm-hmm. why I think, like, sometimes looking back, you and me do it quite a bit, but we look back on, like, either this year or years past since we've been together, and you kind of, like, walk yourself through all the things you've done. And you're just like, wow, I can't believe we did some of those things, or I can't believe we went through some of those things. And now looking back on them, you know, it seems bigger, but when you're in it, you're just surviving. You get mm-hmm. through things, you move along. And I think, like, you know, it's sometimes helpful to look back and be like, wow, if I did all that, then this thing I'm going through right now, you know, a year from now, is just going to be another memory I look back on, and it's another, like, notch in my belt. So it's like, no matter how tough it is, we get through it. And I think it's impressive how people do that. Even when you don't feel strong, you're going through something, you're still going to be here later. And, like, that's that feeling of, like, if you can remember that and just know, like, I am resilient, it can sometimes help you in the moment.
Yeah, and if it is something new you're starting, if it's a workout program or meal planning or new job or, I don't know, whatever any of these things might be, it's like, if you stick with it and you, like, are your own biggest motivator to get through it, you know, think about where you could be a year from now with the exact same thing, you mm-hmm. know, like, if you stick with the same workout program, if you stick with making meals at home or whatever, it's like, it's not just, like, about your own inner strength, but it also could, like, literally change your life.
Wow. I'm motivated.
We would save hundreds of dollars not going to In-N-Out.
We would save hundreds of dollars a month if we didn't shop at Starbucks anymore.
Well, let's not talk about Starbucks.
Is that hands-off? Is that something you're not willing to give up?
When I think about cutting out Starbucks, it's not even that I'm not willing to give it up. It's that, like,
I don't think I'll survive. I don't think I'll make it through this.
It's just that, like, guilty pleasure, and it stresses me out to think about how much we spend there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought you were going to say it stresses you out to think about stopping. I don't even want to think about a life without Starbucks.
No, it's not that dramatic. You know what? I wish we just had, like, a nice, easy-to-access local option. I mean, there is that one drive-through in, like, down south, but... They're like, we don't have
They're any, far away, yeah. We don't have anything close.
Not near us. Like, you know, in our hometown,
it's like... We have one local coffee shop near us, and it's expensive as fuck. It's not that...
And there's a really long wait, yeah. And you got to get out of your car. If you have two kids in the car with you, it's just a whole thing. Like,
I'm not that bougie. I don't need, like, my locally brewed coffee.
I like the idea of supporting, like, a local small business...
I'll do it to one with some reasonable business ethics. These people are trying to, like, gosh.
Hey, I'm not hating on their prices.
I am.
For how often we go.
I'm not going to name names, but if that place had better prices, I'd go there.
But anyways, Starbucks is kind of off limits. However, I've been better about cutting out food from there, at least. Because I noticed I was eating a lot of Starbucks food, and it was kind of making me feel like shit, because I was starting my day with Starbucks food every single day.
And I'm sorry to admit it, but we used to go twice a day too. So at least
for coffee and stuff,
we'd go for different things. We just go just everything. I think we just miss those guys. We just show up sometimes, ask them how they're doing, and I'm done going twice a day.
Well, when we went the other day, were you with me? Yeah, it was us when the lady said she hadn't seen us in a couple days.
Yeah, that's my buddy. I talk to her all the time.
That's your buddy, too?
I am buddies with a lot of people. I'm so nice there that they like me. I'm very polite.
You're just so nice and just so fit and trim and with the perfect gut health.
I don't think they notice how ripped I am when I'm in the car, but they definitely like my personality. And I talk. I like to talk to people. But me and her have an interesting relationship because she gets very... She gets very uncomfortable. And so she often, like, stutters or just, like, doesn't say something. Like, she's...
So maybe she doesn't want to talk to you as much as you think she does.
She missed me. She mentioned that she hadn't seen you in a while.
She didn't say... She didn't use the word miss.
She said, I missed you. I haven't seen you in a while. It was kind of like... I could see it in her eyes.
She said,
I miss you, man. And I love you, man.
She said, hey.
And I respect you. Because you're my mentor.
Literally,
I miss you.
Literally, the words she used were, hey, I haven't seen you guys in a couple days. She probably was like,
that's not what I saw in the eyes.
She probably said it because she noticed, and she was like, oh, thank God that super ripped man hasn't come through asking me how my day's going. You know what I noticed about you, too? The people at McDonald's do not want to talk to you either.
They do. No. You are full of shit. Well, okay, the one girl doesn't. The one girl, but the thing is maybe it's because you're there. Because when you're not there, she says, hi, have a good day. She says, thank you. I think people might... They might really dig me and you're cock blocking.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. I just notice, like, the McDonald's people, they jump straight into it. They're like, they don't even ask how your day is going. They're like, hey, what can I get started with for food for you? Or like, hey, can I get you guys some food? Or they always say, get super specific. They're like, hey, can I get you guys
I get you an oatmeal with some extra brown sugar?
Like
are you going to supersize it or not, bro?
Cinnamon roll deluxe platter. It's like, no, I don't want that shit. Let me order. But yeah, they ask that. And your first thing, you're always like, hey, how you doing?
No, I say, hey, good morning, how are you doing?
Well,
every
way,
time.
You ask that, like, they get really, their first thing is, hi, what can I get started on you for food? Can I get you a cinnamon roll deluxe platter? And you come back with, hey, good morning, how you doing?
First of all, it's not that paused. I'm not like a fucking robot. But secondly, think about it this way. This is what you need to think about. Is that person is probably dealing with assholes like you every day that don't say, how are you doing?
So I always say, how are you doing?
Then why are you hating?
Because...
Shut it for a second. So then think about the fact that someone like me comes through and I'm a ray of sunshine for them. And whether they are ready to respond to that or not, they appreciate it. They like it. It's nice to hear nice people talk to you.
I do think you are a ray of sunshine. I'm not arguing that. It's just kind of funny to observe sometimes. You are like that grandpa at Denny's who is like, hey, Susie, how's your morning going? And she's like, did you want more coffee or not?
Did you notice that I do remember names?
I know you do. That's
I know
why
people's
I say
first
it.
Names because they so deserve. Did my grandpa. People like my grandpa to hear would their do the first name. It's comforting.
And you pick it up off their name tag, too.
Well, yeah, you got to be quick. It's like, I'm not going to remember every single name, but you see a name tag and you call them by their name first shot, and they're usually surprised. They appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, and I'm not holding, like, unnecessary long conversations. I'm not asking them,
like... He's, like, still waiting in the grocery line while after we've gotten the receipt, and he's like, so...
I didn't hear you finish that last sentence. Yeah. What were you saying?
So, Jeffrey, how are you today? You good?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm a nice person, and I think they love it.
I think they do, too.
There's actually a gentleman at McDonald's who always says, like, he repeats it back to me and says, like, you have a nice day, and he says thank you when I say it.
I know.
He thanks me for telling him to have a nice day.
I have noticed that when people in the drive-thru or wherever, when they say, like, how are you doing or how's your day going, I say, like, good, how are you? I always ask how they are doing as well, you know? I don't just say good, and they'll be like, thanks for asking. I noticed that.
Yeah, because that's all they hear. They hear the assholes all day long.
No, I know. I know.
I'm not going to be a Liv. I'm always going
I'm
to be a
Jordan.
I'm
not an asshole. Don't make people think I'm an asshole.
No, you're nice. Because you got that Midwest.
I'm like nice me. To people. You're just like an extra notch above.
Which is funny because I'm more introverted than
you are.
But I just...
Like, you know all the neighbors better than I do. You're the chatty bun.
I'm a chatty broad.
The one time I fell asleep on the couch, I think... Or something. But I remember waking up and you weren't around. I didn't know where you were. It was the middle of the night after the ding-dong ditch. And you were in the street talking to neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I was talking about the ding-dong ditcher. Just, you know, getting a sense of community out there.
Oh, man. So, yeah, growing pains, man. I married my own little Leonardo DiCaprio. Kurt Cameron. You know what? I bet you're nicer than Leonardo DiCaprio.
And Kurt Cameron.
Yeah, I don't really
know
actually, what he's up to.
I've heard he's a good guy, though.
You've heard? Yeah.
I've heard, yeah. I've actually heard he's got some good wholesome values.
I've heard Leo's kind of an asshole.
Maybe. I doubt he asks people how they're doing all the time. I always ask.
He's probably still bitter it took so long to get that Oscar.
You know, it would be, if I saw Leo right now, he'd probably give me a smug look and I'd say, hey, Leo, how you doing? Hey, good morning, Leo. How you doing? I know his first name.
He'd be like, it's 4 p.m., man. Leave me alone.
I would know his first name. I would ask him how he's doing, and I'd say good morning.
You'd be like,
every
how,
time.
How are you feeling that you don't have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? How you
I
feeling, man?
I wouldn't say that. I'd pump people up.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. All right. Anyways, we're getting off topic now. But...
To all you guys listening out there who are starting something new, those growing pains... Think of them as just pains while you're growing. And they'll go away, you know? Because you're growing and there's a little bit of pain when you're growing. Is that the moral of the story? I can't remember why we talked about
it. You should frame that quote.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Hang in there, anything you're going through. And we will catch you on the flip side. Catch you on the flippity-flip.
Flippity-flop.